and good morning. Welcome to Community Voice. It is Tuesday, June 30th, 8:29 a.m. You're listening to Community Voice right here on WLBB News Talk 1330. Good morning. And here we have in the studio the one and only Bethany Dahl. She's the executive director over at the Carroll County Child Advocacy Center, or to make it short and clean, the Child Advocacy Center, because there's only one.
There is only one. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth. Bethany, how have things been?
They've been good.
Might have to scoot up a little bit more to this mic here. There we go.
Okay.
We have this whole studio to ourselves, and it's
we'll cram right in here. Yes. Oh, yeah. No, it's been good. Things have been busy.
For sure. Well, why don't we just get right into it? So, for those who may be tuning in and might have never heard much about the Child Advocacy Center, if you will, please tell us a bit about you and about the organization.
Okay. I have been in West Georgia since 2013, and I have been with the Child Advocacy Center since the fall of 2018. So I had the privilege of stepping in and kind of helping the center move forward. There was a great founding director, Tracy Lewis Martin, and she got to go and work for the state chapter. So taking this team and what her and the founding board built and kind of moving it forward was a lot of fun. We've been going, and the Child Advocacy Center really exists to champion the needs for physically, sexually, emotionally abused children and their families. And we do that really through three different venues. We say it's prevention, intervention, and collaboration. So reacting to child abuse is it's a team effort. No one discipline, no one group can really fix all of the issues that come with for the victims of child abuse and their families. So we start with providing prevention curriculum to the community. It's very important to us, and so we will write grants to pay for the materials and to teach adults how to respond to child sexual abuse and child abuse and what to do if they see it or suspect it. And then we will intervene through forensic interviews. So if it's been disclosed, law enforcement will reach out to us, and we are a safe, child-friendly place with interviewers that are trained to talk to children in non-leading ways to support a law enforcement investigation. And then collaboration is we work with multiple disciplines in the community to provide therapy and the resources that these families need to begin healing and to become survivors and to move on and have productive, healthy lives.
You mentioned something, non-leading questions. That's an interesting point because, I mean, I imagine working with children, they are very, impressionable. So I imagine that has to be difficult to sort of, continue the conversation, but still leave it open enough to where they can fill in the gaps.
It is. And that's so when abuse has been disclosed, we do encourage people not to continue pressing kids and finding out what happened. And a lot of our law enforcement won't necessarily, it's not that they don't want to talk to the family, it's just they want to wait and find out what comes out in the forensic interview. So if a kid tells you a story and then they tell Aunt Betty a story and then they come and talk to me, well, they've already said it twice, so maybe what they said wasn't right. So because they've got all these adults talking to them. So we want to be able to be that safe place where they can tell what happened to them without an influence of, could be a family dynamic, could be a million different things. But we want them to be able to feel safe to tell that they're what happened to them.
For sure. Well, congratulations are in order. You mentioned earlier that today is a special day.
Yes.
For the Child Advocacy Center. Tell us about that.
We will have officially been in our new facility off of Corporate Drive for a year now. So Google Photos was kind enough to remind me of that it has been a year, and it's crazy to think of everything that has gone on in the past year and just how far the facility has come, the team has grown, and just how we've been able to reach these families and to be able to help them.
Now, where was the older facility at?
We were off of Bradley Street, so just down from Brown Dog in the same place the Quilt Museum is and Carroll County Mental Health Advocates. So we miss being downtown and we miss our neighbors in the building, but this has really been good because it does provide a private, safe place for when families come, that they can walk in, they don't have to rush out. We have much more space for families to spread out and play, and so it's good.
That's wonderful. Excellent. Well, we wanted to briefly, I know we touched on this a bit earlier in this year, but I wanted to let folks know who may not have been tuning in that program. I'd love for you to give us a bit of the 2019 highlights and milestones. We know 2020 has already been a busy year, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. But I wanted to ask you a bit of some of the things that were accomplished in 2019.
So in 2019, it was really kind of, I guess, my first year with getting my sea legs at the center. We had 247 forensic interviews that my team were able to conduct and help and provide therapy for families to help support law enforcement investigations. And then most of them coming out of Carroll County. We do serve Carroll, Harrelson, and Heard counties, but majority of those coming from right here in Carroll County. So, and we also, the prevention education is very important for us as well. And so in 2019, we were able to train around 1,200 adults in how to recognize and respond appropriately to child sexual abuse and to prevent and to keep themselves and their children in safe situations. So we're really excited about that.
Excellent. Well, I wanted to briefly touch on how the pandemic affected the organization. Because, you know, as we've seen time and time and again over the last few months, everyone has been impacted in their own way. And the pandemic provided a different array of difficulties depending on the organization or business. So, so if you will, touch on that some.
Yeah, it's been a challenge for many reasons. Once school got out and released in March, the number of families we had seen had been pretty steady. And then once kids were not in front of mandated reporters, we only saw three more children in March, and then a total of seven in April, which is significantly down. We were triaging kind of and trying to take more emergent cases where children were in unsafe situations versus the offender maybe didn't have access to the child. And so just in the stay at home and dealing with that. And then in May, we were alternating our team in the office. Our office is large enough that our desks are not on top of each other. We have space to spread out, but we're still out of an abundance of caution, not having two of our interviewers in the building at the same time. So, it's changed. I mean, we've got hand sanitizer everywhere. Thankfully, I'm a bit of a clean freak. So we had a lot of Clorox wipes and Lysol sprays and things on stock before everything hit. We've been going through our supply, though.
Yeah, for
month.
Sure. Excellent. Well, we're going to take our first break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about the Child Advocacy Center and some of their 2020 milestones and what they have coming up. So stick with us.
At Oak Mountain Academy, our daily schedule includes convocation, prayer, and the Pledge of Allegiance. By doing so, we build a family-like community where all students grow and flourish and personal faith is encouraged. Through community service and a historical approach to biblical study, our students are taught the value of the warrior way, honesty, respect, and responsibility. Oak Mountain Academy, we are a family creating legacies. To learn more, visit oakmountain.us.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. Strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
And good morning. Welcome back to Community Voice. I'm your host, Josh Engel. It is 8:39 in the morning, Tuesday, June 30th, and I'm having a great conversation with Bethany Dahl. Bethany Dahl is the Executive Director of the Carroll County Child Advocacy Center right here on Carrollton. What's your address, your new location? Well, I say new. Today's the one-year anniversary.
Yes, but 110 Corporate Drive.
110 Corporate Drive, right across that shopping center with Ollie's and New China.
Yep.
Amazing Chinese food. I don't know if you've had a chance to eat that there.
We're waiting for Hibachi Express to open back up.
Isn't it so heartbreaking?
It is. Driving past that every day, we're like, okay, we're getting closer. So we're ready for that to open back up.
About once a month, my wife's like, man, there's nothing I want more than Hibachi right now. So we've been chatting a bit about the accomplishments that the Carroll County Child Advocacy Center has under their belt for 2019, as well as ways that they sort of combated the COVID-19 pandemic as it broke out. I know it definitely affected every business and organization differently. So why don't we chat a bit about 2020? From what I understand, as we spoke previously before the show, it has been a pretty crazy year already.
Yes. I think you see all the things on Facebook of how we all just really want to reset 2020. And this is, our numbers and the way things have gone are no exception. We know that this has been a stressful time for everybody. And so for some families, it's even more amplified, and there's a lot more domestic violence and kids getting abused. And so it's been very stressful for my team in anticipation, I guess, and knowing things are happening, but these kids are not in front of mandated reporters. A majority of the state is way over 50% down on the number of cases of abuse that have been reported. And it is just simply teachers and school personnel are the number one mandated reporters in our state. It's just a statistic. And so with these people not having eyes on our kids, it's scary to think of what's going to happen when they do get back in the classroom.
Yeah, and throw into the mix the tensions. You have a lot of parents out of work. If they already had anger issues, we have kids stuck in the home with abusive family members. I mean, that is terrifying.
It's scary, and our heart hurts, and because we know things are going on. And so we're doing what we can. And in April, it was really big to be able to promote ways that families could seek out for resources. So if they were at a rough place, that they could call and get parental advice and guidance, and that there's tons of online resources helping kids go through this, ideas of fun things to do at home. We did start really encouraging people to do the online darkness to light training, the Stewards of Children material. So they've offered a free online training using a code Flip the Switch. And so we made sure people were aware of that. And so in April in Georgia, there was about 1,600 people trained on the Darkness to Light Stewards of Children material, which is really exciting for our state. I would say even more exciting for our county is 462 of those came out of Carroll County.
Really?
So, yes. We're thrilled at the community's response and wanting to be aware and to protect the kids that are in our community.
It's a testament to our community for sure.
It is. So a lot of the schools and then Commissioner Morgan, they made sure to let their employees know that it was important to take. And so we've been blown away by the response. And even still in May, we had an additional 138. So when we were planning on going into April, this was back in February, we were thinking, what could we do? Like, how many trainings could we do at the center? What are the other things we can do to get the community involved? And did not realize that a pandemic that we thought was like going to completely throw off our plans really helped educate the community. So
that's amazing. Do we have any ideas of what was included in that training, the Darkness to Light training?
So it's the same 2-hour in-person training that the center has provided. So it's reacting, how to spot the signs of child sexual abuse, the things that you can do to get involved in that, and be aware of what's going on in your community and how to respond to that. So if a child does disclose it, not freaking
it can be
out.
Overwhelming. Yeah,
it's overwhelming. And, you know, as a mother, you want to probably hurt somebody, but that's not necessarily the best way to go about it. So allowing law enforcement to do what they do and reporting it to the proper people so that we can provide help for these families and healing.
Well, thank you to everyone that made that happen, for sure. And we know that, yeah, Commissioner Morgan was very heavily involved with that. Mm-hmm. So moving forward into 2020, what are the big plans? I know that plans are limited, considering that we're still in the throes of the pandemic, but what do you see moving forward for the organization this year?
For the organization, we're definitely tightening, I guess, up our operations in that extra thorough cleanings between every family. We have air purification systems. Thankfully, one of our grants that we received was able to let us move some funds around, so we were able to get some extra cleaning things to help with that with families coming in. It's going to be some structuring because there is going to be an overwhelming need, and we're a small nonprofit, and so we want to be able to serve these families and provide them with resources that are in our community to our best capacity. And Lord willing, towards the end of the year, we can do some more community events and create the awareness and do some more education. We'd love to get back to some in-person education because it's important. There is the dialogue that is missing a little bit when you do the online training. There's two 45-minute videos, and typically we'll stop in between and have conversations about it and kind of reflect on the kids in our community and what situations they might be in that maybe we could alter. Having a code of ethics for your organization and your staff. And at the center and being in this building, we've had that privilege of we've got glass doors on all of our rooms that are not monitored by a camera. So kids are never alone one-on-one in a space. And just making it very clear to the families that come in that our job is to protect their kids and to help them in any capacity to make that happen. So we're just going to keep trucking along and trying to support our multidisciplinary team the best that we can and these families.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take our second break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how you can help the Child Advocacy Center right here in Carroll County. So stay with us.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. Strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
At Oak Mountain Academy, our academic excellence shines through innovation and a personalized educational experience. Our pre-K 3 through 12th grade environment offers a family-oriented atmosphere. We are an independent school with faith-based values and an academy honor code. Our academic standards prepare our students for college and beyond. I'm Patrick Duran, headmaster, inviting you to visit us on the mountain or at oakmountain.us. Come see how our warriors are creating legacies.
Good morning. Welcome back to Community Voice. I'm your host, Josh Engel. It is 8:48 a.m. Tuesday, June 30th, and I'm having a great conversation with Miss Bethany Dahl, the executive director over at the Carroll County Child Advocacy Center. So if you're just tuning in, you have missed some great materials here in the show, so be sure to check out the podcast of this episode, which will be uploaded to this station's website as well as graticcommunications.com later in the day. So if you missed any of it, be sure to go check it out because they have been up to, as they always are, up to some great work over at the Child Advocacy Center. So speaking of that work, there's no way that it's, you know, not expensive to pull off some of the things that that this organization does. And you just mentioned, you know, you were a nonprofit of how many staff people?
Right now we have five, six. We've just added
All right. Six. See, I spitballed eight earlier and I was wrong. So 5 to 6.
Yep.
So, you know, we're talking about a massive workload, and we know that we have a lot of folks that went through the training, and that's great. But an organization like this that is a 501c3 nonprofit, it's in constant need of funds, correct?
Yes.
How did the organization accomplish most of its fundraising, for example?
So we've been very blessed by this community, and really our funding, we get a third. There's a victims grant that is funded through the state of Georgia. So a third of our income is all for when we do direct victim services. But anything that we do outside of direct victim support is funded by this community. I will write for grants that are available, and we have, and again, praise the Lord, we have our annual fundraiser, which is the last Thursday in February every year. And so we were very blessed and able to do that this year, as I know a lot of nonprofits were not able to hold their events. So we are grateful for that. And then the Barn Store here in Carrollton also does a fundraiser. They do a gun raffle every just before. It's like in September and October.
Shout out to the Barn Store. We love them.
Yes, love Scott and Tina and the team there. And so they support the center through that. And then it is just individual donations. So we've been blessed by this community. They have been very faithful and supported us, and we're grateful.
I always say it's a testament to a local community that we have so many nonprofits, but more importantly, we have so many nonprofits that are funded. People are very generous here to assist with the good work that's going on and with this organization and beyond. I mean, there's so many great ones in the area. So, but let's say someone's listening right now and they have a weight in their heart and they want to help the mission of the Child Advocacy Center. Where can folks donate? Are there any other items they could donate? Give us an idea about that.
Yes, donations can be, you know, mailed or dropped by the office at any point in time. You can also go on to our website, which is cc-cac.org. And you can donate through our website. You can donate through Facebook. A lot of people will do a birthday fundraiser through Facebook, and Facebook does not charge nonprofits any processing fees. So all the money that gets donated through there will come directly to the center.
I did not know that. So yes. If someone has like a charitable cause fundraiser, like for their birth, I see them for people's birthdays a lot. So that means that all of it goes to the organization.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's tremendous.
And we also have a donate button on our Facebook page that if people just want to donate, they can go through there. And again, no fees. So that's always a bonus. But if people are looking for other ways, right now we're going through the cleaning supply. So if you have extra Lysol spray, Lysol wipes, any of that, we'll gladly take it. But also just boxes of Kleenexes, the small little 8-ounce bottles of water, individually packaged snacks. Sometimes families are in our center for several hours, and we want to make sure that we have things that are available for them, coffee for the parents, all those things. We've been buying Freezy Pops for the summer for the kids and for our team.
I wasn't offered one yesterday, so what's happening here?
So sorry about that.
Next time,
promise. You just say the word. But we also have had to replenish on our toys. So a lot of our toys were, it's amazing how fast toys get broken and when you've got lots of families coming through. So we go through toys quite quickly. And so now, especially looking for toys that we can sanitize with a bucket of bleach and water and get them cleaned between families. So if people have, you know, new toys that would be good for sanitizing.
Yeah, so what age range? Predominantly male, female toys?
Really, it's mixed. We really, at the end of the, some months, I think we really have more boys that come in. Some months I feel like it's more girls, but when it comes to the end of the year, it's usually about 50-50. The primary age range I would say would be between 5 and 12 that we would be looking for toys. We have, if somebody wants to do a magazine subscription for We've got a nature magazine for kids, National Geographic for kids, but other things that kids, the older kids might be interested in reading while they're sitting, because a lot of them don't want to be there with us and don't want to play with toys. We really want to be able to accommodate the older kids as well. So
these are all things that people could drop off at the office, which is 110 Corporate Drive,
yes.
Correct?
Yep.
All right. And that's right across the shopping center with Ollie's and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So, well, are there any other big pieces of news that's going to be coming up, or beyond that, we're looking pretty good here?
We've been looking pretty good. So we really want parents and families to know, not feel alone during this time, because there's a lot of catchphrases, I think, that have been used over the last few months that are, you know, they probably grate on us. We're all in this together. But everyone has a different situation at home. And so to be aware of what your neighbors are going through, and if they seem a little stressed, being there to reach out and to help them. There is a ton of resources, and we have them available on our website that people can, there's 1-800 numbers if you just don't know who to call. There's crisis text lines. There's a lot of information, and it's all under the news and events tab on our website that we would encourage people to go and check out.
Perfect. Well, we only have a few minutes left here, so one more time, let folks know where they can find information, social media, websites, everything.
So we are on Instagram, we are on Facebook, and under the Carroll County Child Advocacy Center. And then our website is cc-cac.org. And under the news and events tabs there, you can find a lot of different resources that for just navigating different unique challenges that we all find ourselves in right now.
Perfect. And do you guys have a YouTube channel? I wasn't sure if you had YouTube videos available.
We don't. One of the goals for this year is to create a video that really expresses what we do as a center. And because a lot of people still, I think, are just unclear, and we don't want to, we get a lot of calls for child support and things, and we're not trying to help people pay child support, but we want to be able to support families. And so we're working on it.
Excellent. Well, Bethany, thank you so much for joining us today on Community Voice, and thank you for tuning in. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Thank you.